Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Diana Wiley. I'm your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter. My good friend of some 28 years, Candida Royale, died 2 weeks ago at the age of 64. And when I learned she was in hospice care the evening of Sunday, September 6th, I emailed immediately. I'll just share a little bit of the email with you to think this was to her. To think that your vibrant, creative, beautiful life is about to end is devastating. It's not fair, but your legacy is phenomenal. Through your movies, your book, your media appearances, you have changed, improved so many people's sex lives and relationships. And when folks can experience less shame and more enthusiasm regarding their sexuality, wow, what a blessing. And I also said, and there's more, but I'm just going to share this part with you. You have been a blessing in my life from the beginning of our friendship. Your intelligence, your beauty, your vitality, all converged into the magnificent woman you are. Some of you may have gone to, or may have seen my website. I don't often mention it on this program, but it's drdianawiley.com, and there is a RIP, Candida Royale, on that, and I share, and she's on a pole there, just looking gorgeous. This was about in 2006. So she inscribed in her book, How to Tell a Naked Man What to Do. It's a fabulous book, by the way. It's still available. And she wrote, For Diana, My Sister, and All That's Fun and Delicious. And then I wrote a blurb for her book. For years, I've loaned Candida's enlightening and exhilarating films to clients in search of a reliable orgasm. Candida's sex life is fascinating, and she tells all. And I have as my guests today, this evening and on the East Coast, this afternoon on the West Coast, two people that are also my friends, and we all did a show together with Candida Royale. Her real name is Candace, and most of us called her that, Candace. We did that in November 26, 2013. Remember that, Nina and Howie?
I do.
Yes.
Yes, I'm so glad that you've come back, and I just want to give Candace a little more of an introduction for our listeners, and then I want to hear your memories, and however you would like to honor her. It's a great loss. You know, she was just 64. And you know, I think that we really, you know, part of Candace's legacy was that we really needed to see female pleasure on screen so that we could demand it, we females could demand it for ourselves. She started all of this, her company, FEM, same year you went into films, as I remember, Nina, 1984.
When I got into movies in 1984, I knew the names Betty Dodson and Annie Sprinkle and Xavier Hollander. I didn't watch a lot of porn because I didn't go to theaters and VCRs hadn't been invented. But I do remember in the media at the time that a recently retired performer, Candida Royale, had started her company, FEM Productions, the same year that I made my first movie. And since we're both feminists, Candace and I, the notion that there would be a company whose vision was portraying sexuality for women and couples from a woman's point of view was as correct as bread and butter. It's like, well, of course. And I was not shocked to find out that in the beginning, all the male-dominated companies laughed at her until they started stealing her idea. So,
yes. Yes, say more about that, Nina, because That's pretty important.
It is very important. People.
And
forget,
by the way,
you know, now,
Dina, you're on, I know you're on a landline, but I'm not hearing you as well as we might.
I'm going to pull over. No, I tried texting you earlier. I could not get to a landline in time, so I'm going to pull over where I can hold the phone closer to my face.
Hold it closer to your beautiful face, please.
There you go. There you go. Let's say the movies back in the day, back in the 80s, the comedies were run by men. They were not for any sex positive purpose. They were for making money. They were for getting you to look at the pretty ladies, finish your business, and move on. Candace understood that female sexuality takes place in a bigger vessel sometimes than male sexuality, and that
right.
women need more than a picture of a penis and a vagina touching to feel engaged, aroused, interested. Because she herself was a woman deeply interested in sexuality and wanted to have herself a good time, but more importantly, wanted to show other women a good time, to bring them into the viewing audience, to bring them into the conversation about sexuality and pleasure. She can really not be underestimated. And so in the beginning, the male-dominated companies laughed at her and laughed and, you know, basically any crude East Coast macho cartoon voice you want to use what they said about her, you could use right now. They just completely dismissed her out of hand, basically patted her on the head and said, oh, you're just so silly. Until, of course, she single-handedly built that audience, single-handedly designed the advertising, designed the promotion, talked with the company heads, found a distributor, kept on the distributor, got a royalty, for goodness sake, from a company, and then all the other companies realized, oh, we're leaving money on the table, and started stealing her idea wholesale. So if any company now has a quote-unquote couples line, it is because of Candida Royale. That they think that money's important is because of Candida, that they even try to do such a thing is because of Candida. How well they succeed, I don't know, but they got the idea from her.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're saying this because it's true, and it's such an important part of Candace's legacy. And just before we did our panel, so it was Candace, you, Howie, Nina, in November of 2013, she wrote me this in an email, and it really expresses a lot of her ideas about sexuality, and it is this: when sex is accepted and celebrated for the goodie that it is and can be in this life, it takes on a much less obsessive place than when it is denied, vilified, or repressed. And I bet you, Howie, could have a comment about that.
I wrote it.
You wrote that, it?
You're quoting me, not her.
Oh, okay. You know, all right. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm quoting you.
Yeah.
She put that in, she didn't, all right, good. You're setting the record straight. Well, your book, Hindsight, True Love and Mischief in the Golden Age of Porn, by Howie Gordon, otherwise known as Richard Pacheco. Yeah, so since you wrote it, comment a little bit more on that, will you?
Okay. Well, you know, before I ever became an actor in porn, which started for me in 1976, I was a fan, and I was going to what I call the first wave of porn. After the I Am Curious Yellow decision, I think it was in 68, where the Supreme Court opened the doors to erotic mm-hmm. materials being shown in theaters. There was Jamie Gillis, and there was the New York stuff, and there was Jerry Damiano. And the sexuality that began emerging was 90%, 99% from the male point of view. It was women as imagined by men, the way men wanted them to be, not the way women were in any real way at all. And this was quite at odds with my own perceptions of these things, and I would be amazed at how bad these films were, because if you had two naked people who were going to have sex, I mean, it's really hard to screw it up. And yes, they did. Every time. These attitudes were so just misogynist and nasty. And, you know, where's love? What happened to I love you? Where's that's the kind of stuff I like. We're both happy. It's not just bend over, bitch, and it's all me. I found that to be frightening and lonely. I needed to be with somebody, and that's the kind of sex I was looking for. And so I got in the business, and there's a whole lot of other things involved, but I was not very successful at having sex because I was being asked to play this kind of male dominant sexuality, which wasn't me. And I failed to get erections. And my first eight movies, I was 4 for 8. That means half the time I couldn't get a hard on. Well, you know, that's like being a hockey player who doesn't know how to ice skate. You're not going to last a long time.
That's a hilarious analogy, but for you at the time, it was deeply painful.
Yes, it was. There's no more humiliating thing in the world than to sit there or stand there in front of 40 people waiting for you to get erect. And the girl is sometimes coping well with it. Sometimes she's crying because she thinks it's her fault, that she's not hot enough. All of which leads me to my introduction to Candida. So for my ninth film, I know I kept getting hired because I could act. And at that point in time, they actually wanted people who could memorize lines and deliver a part. The idea was to, if we could make movies, real movies, that have full-bodied sex in them, we'll increase our audience. We'll make more money. That was the theory going on. So I was able to get work. Whereas if I had been earlier, I would have just been dismissed as an impotent fellow. I looked at the factors in the movies I'd been in as to what could help me learn how to function. I never had sex on camera. I never had sex with strangers. There were all these variables. So I started trying to work with them, and I realized, okay, I don't do well with having sex with people I just meet 5 minutes ago. So this next movie, I'm going to try to meet the person I'm going to work with in advance and see if we can be friends, because then I can get some help. I can count on somebody. And I find out I'm going to be working with Candida Royale in a movie called Pizza Girls, Hot and Saucy Pizza Girls.
Okay, so wait a minute, Howie, we have to back up a little bit and let the listening audience know that Candida Royale started out as a porn actress. I mean, a lot of people know that, but she became really disenchanted with the porn industry. After what she made 25 films, she was gorgeous. It was the golden age of porn and all that.
She was a fairly big star in her time.
Yes, she was. So, but anyway, that's the that I think we need to let the listening audience know that she was a porn star, which actually informed her greatly when she became a director and a producer. But anyway, go on. So, back in the day when you and Candida Royale were going to have a sex scene.
I get her phone number from the production manager, and I call her up, and I say, hello, Candida Royale. You don't know me, but my name is Howie, and we're scheduled to work together next week. And I've been having really bad luck functioning sexually in these movies, and I thought it might help me if I could meet you before we work together. And she kind of got her back up and went, well, nobody's ever asked me to do that before. And I said, well, I'm asking. I just want to, you know, meet you. Have a cup of coffee.
You were polite.
Yes. Yes. Yep. I could see that she was, you know, really mistrustful.
She was a gorgeous young woman who was hit on by a lot of men, including in her film. So, of course, she wouldn't have the trust.
Right. So, but she consents to meet with me. And I meet with her and her girlfriend, Leilani, whose stage name was Lorian Dominique. She was also a star of that era. She was also cast in Pizza Girls. And Lorian had her boyfriend with her. And the four of us were on the rooftops of San Francisco. They were younger than me, and they were pretty wild children. And there was some smoking of marijuana and a lot of hijinks where Lori and her boyfriend went off to a corner and started making love, leaving Candide and I alone, and lo and behold, we started making out too, and we had sex. It was.
And did that help you then, Howie, for the filming?
It deserves some comment. The sex that we had was fairly passionless. It was more like plumbing. And there was no looking into each other's eyes deeply. There was no connection. It was just, okay, we're going to do this. It was just kind of like the 60s. A lot of 60s sex was like that. You just fought.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a lot of communication about the sex. There's what happened and what each person took away from it. I don't know if she had an orgasm then. I know that I did. And for me, that's all I was there to really do. It was way more than I thought was going to happen. And it gave me great comfort that I had connected with this person and I was able to function, and we did. Okay, and it comes to be dinner time and the alarm goes off on my wedding ring and I go home.
The alarm goes off on your wedding ring.
So, about 10 days later, we're making the movie. Now, it's my misfortune that John Holmes, who was wild card and the ultimate emperor of the entire industry at that point,
right,
because of his 14-and-a-half-inch penis, which was worth big money, decides he wants to direct the scene I'm in.
Oh, no.
And there was a regular director, Bob Chin.
Wait a minute.
Also
it sounds like,
producer.
Nina, you're really commiserating with Howie on this.
Oh, I'm totally with him on this, because I can just see the, I can see the setup. I can see it now.
Setup is the proper word. I was set up. So there's three directors. And besides the three directors, the guy on the set, there's a guy on the set right out of Central Casting from The Godfather. He's got a shaved head when nobody was shaving their heads. He must weigh 400 pounds.
Oh.
And the most beautiful woman on the set is sitting on his lap. She's not even in the movie. She's just there for window dressing for him. And he was the power on the set. Everybody was working for him. And you wanted to see him smiling. You did not want to make this man mad. So that's
added
what the set
pressure
was like. What's that?
Added pressure.
Yes, added
pressure for you.
All right, so foreplay consists of the director saying to Candida, suck his penis.
That's all.
Yeah. All right, so she starts sucking my penis. And while she's sucking me, the catechism of filmmaking begins. This is all film. It's before video. So director calls, roll camera. Cameraman answers, camera rolling. Roll sound. Soundman answers, sound rolling. And then it's quiet. You can hear the film going through the camera. And out of nowhere, the production manager, and I won't do this to your listeners or you, but screams at the top of his lungs, quiet on the set! I jumped a foot. Everybody breaks out laughing because he appears to be out of his mind. And then he says, oh, I thought I heard noise upstairs. Okay, so everybody calms down, and we start all over again. Only my penis took the car keys and went home.
Oh, yeah.
And you had reoccurring ED kinds of happenings,
yes,
throughout your adult porn. But Candida Royale, let's bring it back to her a little bit.
Yes.
Because she left performing as an actress. And Nina, you can weigh in on this as well, to producing, directing, writing. She understood men and women and their sexuality better than many, because she had been on the other side of the camera. She'd been an actress.
I want to
tell
you Howie's story.
Nina, get as close as you can to your phone, because we're not hearing you very well.
Ah, okay, how's this? Is that better?
A little.
Okay. I'm so sorry. Something came up, and I could not be home the way I had intended to be home.
Okay.
But what Howie explains is very correct on how movies were before Candace showed up. So when she got behind the camera, what she did was she, get this, asked people, who do you want to work with? She made sure that everyone liked their partner. She made sure there was plenty of time. She made sure there was plenty of comfort. She didn't have people making love on hay bales or desktops. She made sure they had comfortable, nice places to make love, because that's where you make love, on comfortable, nice places. So she really did understand what the performers needed to optimize their experience, and then therefore to get more of that energy onto the screen and not waste it in the hellhole of trying to wait for the erection. She was the first one to practice safer sex consistently. She was the first one to score her own movies. She really did it all. As a director of performers, she was the best, because she really cared about the emotional security of the players.
I believe you're right.
I saw the birth of those thoughts in her, because in the scene that I'm describing, Candida talks about this scene later in her own life, and we compared notes about it. It was kind of fun, because what she took away from that experience of me not being able to sexually function is that I was replaced by the production manager as a stunt cock. And
I took
all my costume down to my wedding ring and put him in all my clothes, and then he tried to have sex with Candida, and he failed as well. So Candida walks away from this thinking, wow, two men, neither one of them wanted me. Is it my fault? What did I do wrong? Is it something I'm doing that's preventing them from being able to function? Which is an interesting question to be asking, and it echoes very loud in terms of men and women getting together. A lot of sex, from the male point of view, is that the male is programmed to initiate, to dictate what position, how long, blah, blah. The man runs the show, and he's after his orgasm, and the hell with the woman. She's got to get in line with that, and that's how a lot of men are. That's how we break into trying to be sexual beings. And the porn world was certainly 99% that, because the male orgasm was all they were showing. It made
right.
no sense to the camera people, to producers, directors, to waste time to wait for a real female orgasm, because you couldn't see anything anyway in their minds. So that can easily be acted.
And, yeah, and so
God
what?
Knows how
I love
that
gonna,
is to watch a legion of women acting like they're coming when they're not.
Oh,
but
I just quote Candida Royale. She said, "I wasn't interested in making the same old typical boring pornography. I wanted it to be something that women could enjoy,"
and that really threatened men. That
really
threatened the men
because
in the industry.
It had to do with female empowerment. And for 11 years, when I was in California, I co-led two women's sexuality groups, and virtually every woman in the group had sexual trauma or sexual abuse. And for some of them, the homework was to watch one of Candida Royale's movies, because, and she told me this firsthand, that she used real couples whenever possible, and that a lot of these female actors in her movies were having legitimate orgasms. And I wanted my clients to see that there could be so much pleasure with orgasm. And
yeah.
it actually did work.
I was able to, for years, you know, for guys who wanted to introduce pornography at home, I said the only woman, this was 20 years ago, but the
yeah.
only movies that you can pull into your home where you can rest assured that a woman was in charge of the producing, the casting, the editing, the directing, the story was Phantom Productions. So you gentlemen can watch an adult movie without any feminist guilt, and your female partner can watch a movie and not worry that it was some guy's idea. And so I prescribed her movies all the time during the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, yes, as did I. And, of course, and then more recently I've been able to prescribe your sex educational movies, dear Nina. Because you've how many sex ed videos have you done now?
We just completed number 39 and 40, but the two kinds of movies are so different they don't overlap. Because Candace's movies are a real movie, a beginning, a story,
character
development. No one looks at the camera and explains anything. And in my movies are very much I am talking to the camera about what it is I'm doing. But I think they go hand in glove because each carry different kinds of information that couples need and that women need about their bodies and about permission for pleasure. I think a lot of women have trouble letting themselves have a good time. Certain movies can be very useful for them to reclaim that part of their lives, that they get to have a good time as well as the guy. It's not all about him. Because Howie speaks the truth. I mean, really, it's all about... It's all about, you know, the male experience. I wanted to call it of pleasure. Even the men who can perform Howie, I don't know how much pleasure they're having. They are manufacturing erections and achieving ejaculation, but I don't know how much pleasure they're really experiencing.
Well, I've seen two distinct versions of that. There's the guys like Bill Margold who talks about the actor's sole job is this, get it up, get it in, get it off, and get out. That's the Olympic event for him of being
right.
a porn actor. That's what he did
right.
for his career. It didn't matter who the woman was at all. It was an interchangeable part. There was a hole to be dealt with.
In this case, the woman was very much objectified, and Candida Royale, her porn was so different from mainstream porn. Of course, mainstream porn created by men for men. And what I like about Candida is that she prioritized women's pleasure and orgasms. And she didn't end every scene with a male ejaculation, the so-called
right?
money shot.
Crazy.
Yeah, she featured a variety of... She had a lot of sensual and sexual play rather than shooting people used to call predictable and soulless porn painted by numbers.
Yes, paint by the numbers, absolutely. Howie and I have both done our share of paint by the numbers themes, and they get old quickly.
Yeah.
And Candace always had a new idea. She's always, every movie... with a slightly different take on the same scene, so she and I did the same movie twice. The stories were varied, the situations were varied, the partners were varied. And I asked him, you know, don't forget, Candida was both a heterosexual and a monogamous person, so the sex in her movies is, quote, very, very regular, meaning it's mainly heterosexual, two partners situations, little or no anal. I did one three-way with her, which for her was a pretty big group, two women and a man as a part of fantasy. So she really, she shot the kind of sex she preferred to have, which was intimate sex with a single partner at a time.
Yeah, and that,
well, Diana,
and I knew her. I knew her, and that's exactly how she was.
Yeah,
when she was in love, that was her guy, and she was monogamous. And
the kind of sex she portrayed
was fairly vanilla sex in her movies.
Diana, you said the word earlier, empowerment. And that's
the
great joy for me of having watched Candida from the wild child porn star that she was pretending to be and just trying and playing the game the way the game was dealt in New York to a person who grew. It reminded me very much of Whoopi Goldberg, who was, I also got to see that with. When I first met Whoopi, she was a woman on welfare with a young kid. And she grew into a person who sits down and talks to presidents.
Your book, Hindsight, True Love and Mischief in the Golden Age of Porn, has a nice foreword by Whoopi Goldberg.
Yes. But the point that I want to make is that both Candida and Whoopi went from... They grew into their parts. They grew spectacularly. The you didn't know the Candida who wasn't empowered, is what I'm
right.
saying. You
yeah.
you came along when she just started realizing that that was what she could be, and she could make that work, and the determination. Well, that was already, she had leaped bounds to get to there. And she kept growing, and she kept being stronger. And she was very good at not being bullied by the people who would belittle her and belittle women. You know, the industry still has this kind of max hardcore group of guys in it that don't dig chick flicks. They just laugh at that. That's not what they're about, and that's not what their sexuality is about, and they don't even recognize it. And Candida took these guys on and was able to hold her own.
And she never lost a dignity. I never saw her freak out or yell or scream. And she had broken down in private, but in public, she was always a dignified, grown-up person. And to see her deal, I wish I had talked with her more about how do you negotiate with men who don't want to deal with women. She negotiated toy contracts. She negotiated manufacturing contracts. She negotiated distribution contracts. She negotiated with everybody that she was dealing with were men. And yet she just kept on, and she made them listen to her. I don't know how she did it. I'm absolutely impressed always. Every time I think about what she managed to make out of whole cloth, it really is quite the most tremendous accomplishment on her part, actually, that she was able to do that, because she was definitely working uphill on that one. She really got doors to open, and she kept negotiating, and she really taught me a lot of that you can't sit down, you can't let the first no turn you away, and you can't worry about having too delicate of feelings.
Yes,
because it's a business. And
so Nina,
she
was a mentor for you, a mentor,
and still is.
She was.
I'm
sorry I didn't utilize her skills more fully, but just knowing that she was out there doing that, watching her deal with the companies in Vegas, and watching her, you know, every year in Vegas, she had a special dinner with the guy in charge at her distribution company to have a private dinner and talk business. So I realize now in business, you have to keep on spinning the plate. A deal's never done and done. A deal is done, and then it's nurtured, and it's tended to, and it's cultivated, and it's ongoing. And I didn't understand that before seeing her work, do her magic, and then design the toy line, which now, of course, there are ergonomically designed toys by and for women. She was one of the first ones to do that.
Yes, she was.
She
realized, in 1999, natural contours.
That's right. Yeah, and mm-hmm. they're great, by the way. The bonbon, of all the natural contours, my favorite is the bonbon, because it fits in right between people very easily. I recommend the bonbon.
I always recommend the G-spot contour, natural contours one, which was Ultime. And in 2001, at the World Congress for Sexology in Paris, I was there presenting a paper. Candida Royale was there presenting a paper. Her natural contours were there exhibiting. They gave me an Ultime, and at that point I had been widowed for a year. So I used the Ultime regularly, and conditioned my G-spot to have orgasms.
Yes, that's awesome.
And that was a gift, and I thanked her for it, and yes, so.
And you've been friends ever since.
Oh, no, we were, I so admired her. You know, somebody on Facebook called her the Grace Kelly of porn.
Oh, yeah.
A sophisticated and beautiful woman of incredible integrity and big
yes.
enough to allow others to shine. And one of the women that she mentored is Petra Joy. who is a filmmaker in the UK. And she and I got a couple of their films thanks to Candace. She sent me them. But this woman in the UK, Petra Joy, has made films, and it was thanks to Candida Royale and her mentorship. I mean, Candace had a lot of influence.
Oh, yes.
Personally, professionally.
Yes. Well, she showed it was possible. She showed it was possible for a woman to have a vision and to live up to it. She showed it was possible to meet men in the workplace as equals and make them listen to her and to get them to give her money, to convince them that investing with her was a good idea, that women's sexuality is a smart investment. I'm sorry she didn't do a book on business techniques, because I could sorely use one now, because I don't know where she learned how to do business. I don't know if she came to her naturally or she took classes or books or lessons or what.
I think she was sort of natural. But you know, Nina, what you and Candace have in common? High IQs. You were called by Playboy some years ago the smartest woman in porn.
I think I think that's very nice of them to do that, but they didn't know Stoya, who I think actually really is a smartest woman in porn.
Don't diminish yourself. And then Candace, she had the highest IQ, according to Annie Sprinkle. Of women in porn. And so you're both, with high IQs, you have a sense of business. And men that can not be very fair with you. Howard, do you want to weigh in on this?
Well, how is always
high IQ? Book is so hilarious.
Howie is an anomaly in this business. He is a guy who actually likes women as a concept and treats the one in front of him very well. Is a longtime happily married to a high-powered dynamo of a person. So clearly he's got the chops in the husband department.
Yeah.
And so there is no other Howie in the business. There's no other Howie. He's the only one.
Howie confessed to me. In a phone interview, and plus, Brian, my fiancé, and I have visited with Howie in his Berkeley home a couple of years ago, and that was fun. But, Howie, you confessed that Nina was your first crush. Or was it the reverse?
You have the reverse there.
Okay.
I was already in the business for 10 years.
Howie was my first crush. Richard Pacheco, you said, Nina, he's a really sweet guy, and he was your first crush.
Right, because he was the only other man in the business almost to this day that was there, besides my husband, who was there because he wanted to see what it was like to have that kind of sex. But also, once he got in, he was the only other man, besides to whom I'm now married, who cares about women as people and wasn't afraid to say that. And I'm from Berkeley as well, so Howie and I, our politics overlap very well, our sensibilities overlap, our idealism overlaps. And so it's been 30 years for me, there still has not been anyone like Howie in the business in terms of men with the ideas that he has and the ethics that he has and the sheer, he's such a mensch, and mensch in Yiddish is just a good guy. He's a nice guy. And this business is not for nice guys, because the nature of the business for men is part of them can't be super nice, because in real life, and Howie knows this, penises are attached to emotions. And as a director, Candace understood this, which is why she was so careful to only put together people who liked each other, because she understood that penises are connected to emotions. And the business, as a general rule, does not support men whose penises are connected to their emotions, to their gentler emotions. The penises could be attached to lust or aggression or energy or sheer horniness. But as a general rule, in porn, if a man's erection is connected to kindness or sweetness or friendliness, it can be more problematic. Because now, Howie, you'd be surprised, some of the women don't want to kiss. And they're just there to get to provide the socket for the socket for the sprocket and moving on. So that the instead of feelings having infected the male side of the business, the, you know, get her done attitude has actually infected the female side of the business more than I ever thought it would.
Huh.
Wow.
You're not,
okay,
you're not
so
sorry.
How
you're
hear you
sorry.
Respond to that. That's a wonderful statement from Nina Hartley.
Well, I've always been a Howie fan.
She must be the smartest woman in porn then.
Oh, boom, boom. But back to Candace. One of the things our business does poorly is educate the younger generation about who and what has come before. So I fear in the industry, if people did not know Candida personally, they don't know who she is at all. She's known in the academic world. She is known certainly in the therapy world quite properly. But in terms of women in porn who are younger than 40 knowing who is Candida Real, I don't know that you would find any, which is, you know, a sadness. Although nothing dies on the internet, and anyone who wants to do it, I'm sure she has a wiki page. But I'm sorry that the young people won't get to know her as the amazing person she was. Plus, she's fun. Plus, she's artistic. Plus, she could cook. Plus, she was a devoted girlfriend when you got to be her girlfriend.
Oh,
she was
absolutely.
Gracious. She was gracious to me because as a devout heterosexual, she did honor me with letting me flirt with her and dance with her because she was a wonderful dancer. And so she liked being led properly in a little ballroom dancing. So she would let me dance with her and she let me flirt with her and without ever being made uncomfortable by that. So for that, I'm grateful. She never told me to back off because I found her terribly, terribly beautiful and heterosexual, so there's no hope for me there.
Yeah, Nina Hartley, the bisexual out there. You said that you got into porn originally because you could find women.
Well, yeah, how we say that the naked ladies are there. And I'm so grateful. I mean, honestly, if I had been a dude, I would have been Howie because I was grateful that I was a woman because the idea of having to get an erection and have a real orgasm in front of strangers on command, it's like, you've got to be kidding me. So the fact that Howie even succeeded half the time blows my mind because I don't know if I could have done that if I had been a guy.
Oh, Howie, respond to that.
Well, I wanted to,
if you will,
take it back to Candida in this
yes,
sense.
Let's get back to Candida.
We've heard recently about her quest near the end of her life to reconnect with her mom, who left when she was a small child.
Oh, thank you for
bringing
this up.
What I wanted to talk about is, prior to that, we've heard very little about Candida's step-parents.
Yeah.
Whoever raised Candida did a fabulous job.
Yeah,
and I don't read that in any of the articles.
Well,
and I don't know anything about
I know something about this.
Okay, well, let me just finish my thought.
Yeah, go ahead.
What was unique to me about Candida from the get-go, she was not a bird with a broken wing. She was not someone in porn because she needed the money for her next fix, or she needed the money for her rent, or she needed the money to support her child. She was an artist. She was a singer. She was a dancer. She was there to celebrate sex and herself. This was a very strong young woman who had been brought up to be strong and to feel like you can have these opinions and you can act on them, and she did. And she made lots of stupid young person mistakes that men and women make. And, you know, she discovered the irony of thinking being in the sex business would be liberating, because the people running the sex business were as far from liberation as Mussolini.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, wasn't her father a jazz musician?
And she did have a close relationship with him, but her mother abandoned her early on. And the really sad thing is, you know, Candace was searching for her mother, hired a private investigator to help track down her mother. For this documentary that I hope somebody finishes eventually. But it turns out her mother, who abandoned her really young, also had ovarian cancer and died from it. And the tragedy is that if Candace had known that, she might have had a hysterectomy early on. Because that is a preventative way.
Sure. I know she wanted to be a mother, and that was a sadness that she could never find the right combination of time and partner for that.
That's right. I was friends with her when she was considering the boyfriend at the time that she was close to, and maybe she would, I mean, this goes back almost 30 years, that she might have a child with. Anyway, She died of ovarian cancer, but I have known some women who have had mothers and grandmothers with ovarian cancer who have had hysterectomies just to prevent that. And Candace did not know that her mother had died.
Right.
Right.
Of ovarian cancer. Yeah. And that's tragic. And she didn't want to go. She really didn't want to go. She fought so hard. I feel so sad that she fought for over 5 years against ovarian cancer. And I remember so well when she told me about it 5 years ago, and it was just before her birthday. She would have turned 65 October 15th, next month. So, you know, we really need to count our blessings, don't we?
Amen.
That we're alive and doing, Howie, you said the best thing to me yesterday in our pre-interview. Just we're all in Act 3. Make the most of the time left.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we all feel that. And then, Howie, you quoted Willie Nelson, who said, "I've outlived my dick."
Oh, no, he did not say that.
Yes, oh. Willie Nelson would say that, of course.
When he was 75.
Oh, my goodness. Well, they have implants for that, Willie.
Yeah, they do.
No, I have a friend who, from diabetes, he had severe ED, so he got the pumpable up implants. He thinks it's the best thing since sliced bread. He's a dedicated nudist, and so he likes walking around with a half a stiffy all the time without having to touch it. He's just, and he can still have orgasms. Those nerves are still working. He's happy the pig in a poke. So Willie Nelson can certainly afford to get implants should he so desire such items.
Yes, he can.
Yeah, no, I've had some clients, and including a recent one who's like 66, and Medicare paid for his penile implant.
Wow.
And it was done by a surgeon in here in Washington State who does them all the time, and they can be very successful. But
how
kind
about
of the,
that?
What did you say, Nina?
How about that?
Yeah, I know. See, we have so many. So let's get back to Candace for a moment. Candida, you know, she was a real sex positive activist, and she promoted female masturbation, sexual exploration.
She encouraged it. She not just promoted it, but she enabled it with her Natural Contours line.
She did.
Yep.
And so she tried to close the orgasm gap, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't know if that'll ever happen. That's going to take a while. She's made a good dent in it, but I know I haven't closed my orgasm gap, but that's on me.
well,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So how
sexuality, you know, back to what
Candace
turns out to be Howie's quote, when sex is accepted and celebrated for the goody that it is and can be in this life, it takes on a much less obsessive place. Oh, I see this all the time in my clients, of course.
Sure, sure. Well, it's true. But
so,
a lot of it...
Yeah,
I
go
like
ahead. One of
I
you,
like
go ahead.
I like Candace's work because she normalized sex with feelings as something that is to be desired and hoped for, not
uh-huh.
sex without feelings, which was radical at the time. It's slightly less radical now, 30 years later, but certainly was radical for the first 20 years of her company. The last 10 years with the digital revolution, more alternative people are making movies. There's more queer slash alt slash, you know, Generation Z sexuality on camera, more queer focused stuff. But it started with her. It started with the regular, quote unquote, normal heterosexual movies, and is showing men out there that putting feelings with your penis is actually better and nicer and leads to better sex. And I appreciate that message from her, because sex with feelings is better than sex without feelings.
And Howie, weigh in on this one, because I think you can.
Well, it's a big world, and I have problems with any generalization, because right away, 15 exceptions jump into my brain.
Right.
You know, we all are who we are, and because something works on Tuesday doesn't mean the same thing's going to work on Wednesday. And what
right.
got me aroused and crazy hot when I was 18 wasn't what happened when I was 35. And what 35
yeah.
isn't what's doing it at 60. So we're all in flux. We're all in motion. We're all moving between our own changing needs and our own changing concepts of gender.
And
in many ways,
our own changing bodies.
Yeah, it's like we need to belong to the first church of now.
Yes, yes.
You know, because now is where we are, and that now I want to put on a pair of panties and pretend I'm a woman.
Right.
Okay, that's now. You know, tomorrow that'd be like, oh, hey, that was silly. Now I want to be Superman. I want to be
right.
You need to be free to play and be with people who you're not ashamed to share the truth with, because that's
yes.
the biggest problem. I mean, I think, Diana, we talked about years, well, months ago when we were talking about sex therapy. As a concept, that a lot of it is mechanical, and those mechanical problems aren't really complex to fix. The ones where we confuse calling them a sexual problem, when the problem is a communication problem. The problem
yeah.
is sharing power. The problem is confession. These are bigger than does your dick go up or down. These involve learning how to accept yourself and see yourself, and to be able to talk about that with somebody, and to be able to be wise enough to find partners who bring out the best in you and not the worst in you. These
yes,
are the challenges that we're facing all the time.
Very well said, Howie. Thank you.
Well, my pleasure. Candida was just someone who recognized the totality of all that. You know, it's
yeah.
ironic to me, just on a personal note, and I'll share this with you guys. When I first met Candida, I wasn't the least bit attracted to her physically. There was no chemistry between us. I liked older women then. She was younger than me.
Right.
There was no magic there. But we kept bumping up against each other over time and over our changes. And, you know, when she really got my attention the first time was Club 90, because I had really been lobbying to bring in women of power and substance into this business, because all you didn't have those kind of people. The feminists, the wrong wing of feminism had co-opted the movement, and they were, you know, their idea of, I remember the Dworkin and McKinnon definition of sexual violence is when a penis enters a vagina. Great. That reminded me so much of, like, in the civil rights revolutionary days when the Black Power movement came up, and you'd say to your black friend, what can I do to help? And he said, you can die. That's a great idea. I'll get right on that.
Right, exactly. Absolutely. Candace, and because I love about Candace's heterosexuality, it prevented her from becoming a crazy man-hating feminist. She had plenty to say about
it.
She's certainly plenty angry about the status quo, but she loved men. She needed men to be romantically happy, and she needed a man to make a family with if she's going to make a family at all. And so she could not become a raging so-called ball-busting man-hater because she liked men.
She liked men. I was
some of my
a good
best
enough
friends
friend
men.
That I knew that she and her, kind of her last lover boyfriend, stayed with me often when I lived in Los Angeles because I had a wonderful guest room down the hall. I knew her well. So I'm going to wind this show down by thanking you both so much. But I would like to say, in honor of Candida Royale, well, why not enjoy one of her films or toys, Natural Contours, and then maybe have an amazing orgasm in her name? Because
you would like nothing more.
Exactly. I believe she would like that. She wanted people to have sexual pleasure, and especially women. And, you know, we have so much to appreciate Candida Royale for. And, yes, so let's sign off with that. And I thank you so much, Nina Hartley, Richard Pacheco. We better know you as Howie Gordon. And thank you for what you've contributed to the show.
Well, thanks for having us, Diana.
You're a dear, dear.
We appreciate it.
Well, you know how much I care for you. All right. So, bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. We'll talk off the air more later. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.